Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, and podcasts of prior shows are also available there under the local programming tab. Just scroll down to Your Financial Choices and see all the shows that we have done over probably the past several years. We have been here 10 years. Your Financial Choices have been on WDIY 10 years just last month, so we continue to celebrate that. So lots of information on WDIY.org as well as yourfinancialchoices.com. Today is October 16th, 2019. The markets were slightly down. Today, the Dow closing at 27,001, the NASDAQ at 8,124, and the S&P at 2,989. Our topic tonight is charitable giving and itemizing. So I'm going to talk about itemizing deductions to kind of open up the show and then move in to talk about charitable giving, which I traditionally do during the membership drive to help people know that there are still are ways that we can save on taxes through charitable giving. So I'll give you some tips on that as well as itemizing in general. Because of the pledge drive this evening, we are not taking calls this evening. You can email through yourfinancialchoices.com questions, and I'll do my best to try to monitor that as they come into my email. I'm not sure about the timing on those. So if you do have a question, email is available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So talking tonight about itemizing and charitable giving, because of the higher standard deduction since the 2018 tax reform, fewer and fewer, I'm going to start with married couples, are itemizing deductions. And I say that because single filers may still have a better chance of itemizing, and I'll go through that in a second. That's because married filing couples, married filing joint couples, have a higher standard deduction now than they had in the past. So this was through the tax reform in 2018, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act eliminated the exemptions that we used to get, but raised the standard deduction. So what happens is with that much higher standard deduction, people don't always have enough to itemize because they not only raised the standard deduction, they also eliminated some of the deductions that we had on Schedule A. One of the deductions they eliminated was something called the miscellaneous itemized deductions. Some people didn't really get that. They might have. It was limited to deductions that exceeded 2% of your adjusted gross income for such things as investment management fees or safe deposit boxes, sometimes investment publications, unreimbursed employee business expenses. So that all went away for federal purposes. That all went away. So that kind of limited some people's ability to itemize deductions. But the big one that impacted the ability for people to itemize deductions was the change in the deduction for taxes. And for people who did itemize on Schedule A, they knew what that meant was real estate taxes and state and local income taxes. That was particularly valuable for people who were still working, who have wages, who pay both state and local taxes on their wages. Married filing joint couples, if both were wage earners, that could be quite a significant deduction when they added the state and local income taxes that they paid through payroll, along with their real estate taxes. That could add up very quickly. So they would have that as a deduction. There would also be mortgage interest. So let me kind of go through this. But what happened on the real estate, or excuse me, on the tax deduction, is they limited it to $10,000. So if I paid, you know, $40,000 in state and local taxes and my real estate taxes, because maybe I had a couple properties and I made tons of money, that would be a huge deduction, $40,000. Chances are, if I had was subject to the alternative minimum tax, I didn't get that deduction anyway. And a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of high income earners weren't getting this deduction anyway, so it wasn't necessarily a big hit for them. But there were a whole slew of people who still benefited from that deduction of taxes. But now they've capped it at $10,000. But that cap of $10,000 applies to married filing joint, head of household, and single filers. There was no difference between the filing statuses. So you could see how that would impact married filing joint filers much more than a single filer, because they still get almost a full benefit depending on their income and taxes. All right, so that was a huge cut. With that, and eliminating the miscellaneous itemized deductions, what would you have? If your state and local taxes are capped at $10,000 and I have a standard deduction as a married filing joint person of $24,000, what other deductions can I take? So let's go through that. Itemizing in general, standard deduction for 2019 for single filers is $12,200. So that's where, folks, when I say the cap on taxes is $10,000, you're very close to getting over that standard deduction. Single people really need to review whether they can itemize deductions. Don't make an assumption that you can't. Really need to review this, single folks. Married filing joint, the standard deduction for 2019 is $24,400. For head of households, it's $18,350. And if you're over 65 or blind, you get an additional $1,300 if you're married filing joint. If you're both two spouses are over age 65, you get $1,300 twice. So that really increases your standard deduction. And for single people, that extra amount, if you're over 65 or blind, is $1,600. So you have to have enough deductions over those standard deduction amounts to benefit from itemizing. So you may make some assumptions that you don't qualify for it, and it's getting easier to kind of run those numbers because we're limited on the amount of deductions we can take. The big categories on Schedule A for deductions, if you think about it in sections, are medical expenses, taxes, as I've mentioned, mortgage interest, which might include some home equity interest. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And charitable giving. So those are the big categories: medical, taxes, interest, deductions, and charitable giving. So we're going to take some time just to kind of go through those categories to talk about what applies, and then build up to talking about charitable giving and how you can either amp up your charitable giving to make a difference on itemizing and having the ability to itemize on Schedule A, or find other ways to do your charitable giving. All right. Speaking of charitable giving, it is time for our first break, and then we will come back and talk about our 2019 fall membership drive. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and good evening at this point. My name is Seamus McGrogan, and I'm stepping into the studio real quick to give you an update about our fall membership drive. And we are looking for your support, of course, for all the programming here on WDIY. We want to give two more thank yous. A new member from Nazareth, thank you for that. And Doug from Allentown gave us an extra gift. So thank you so much to those members supporting us. If you'd like to join them, now is the perfect time to do it. Phone operators are standing by at 610-758-8810, or you can give online at wdiy.org. And that new member, Doug from Allentown, and all the others who contributed during the fall drive, they are taking advantage of our partnership that's running right now for the fall membership drive. And the way that works is we've partnered with Valley National Financial Advisors, which is the company that Lori works for. And they have generously come on as a partner to cover the costs of meals being delivered by Second Harvest Food Bank of the Lehigh Valley. And if you don't know Second Harvest Food Bank of the Lehigh Valley, they do incredible work. If you want to hear more about that, I talked with their director, Jessica Dokachev, as well as Valley National's
CEO
Matt Petruzzelli. That's right. And you can hear that conversation tomorrow during Lehigh Valley Discourse at 6 o'clock, so right around this time. But they do incredible work in the area, Second Harvest Food Bank, providing lots of food for shelters, food banks, emergency situations, hospitals, all these things they provide food for and meals for. So the way this works is for every $100 donated to WDIY during the drive, Second Harvest Food Bank will be able to deliver 21 extra meals. So if you want to take advantage of this great partnership, you need to donate during the drive. So now is the perfect time. Once again, that number 610-758-8810 or going online to wdiy.org.
And that's no extra cost to you. That's the beauty of it. And I love that WDIY chose to do this partnership format instead of giving these free gifts that we often forget about or we have to send to, you know, the garbage because we didn't use these little tchotchkes, etc. What a great way to help our community from community public radio as well, because that's what we're all about, and taking care of our folks in our community. I also want to mention that I like to do little challenges during these pledge drives. If we can raise $500, and that would be five $100 donations, which would provide those meals.
That's right.
I will donate an additional $250 if we can do that in the next hour. So that's five people, and those couple are probably from the last hour. So we probably need five new people to donate $100. And if we've got someone who's really got big pockets, they could just do $500 and we could be done with it. And we'll accept that. And we'll also help bring some meals to Second Harvest Food Bank. So I'll write a check for an extra $250 if we can raise $500, and it's so easy to do through the phone number 610-758-8810 or going online at wdiy.org, and we'll watch for those donations to roll in and make our announcement, and hopefully before the end of the show we can have me write a check for $250.
Lori, I'm going to run back over and watch for those donations. Once again, as I leave, the number is 610-758-8810 or website is wdiy.org.
Thank you very much, Seamus. And thank you for our listeners and those who've already made their donations. We really appreciate it. It makes such a difference. And there's such a huge volunteer group that keeps this station running, all for the benefit of the community. So thank you very much. It makes such a difference to us. In that light, because it is Pledge Drive, I usually do try to do a show around charitable giving. And I thought I would marry it with talking about itemizing deductions, because so many people, what I hear sometimes are folks saying, oh, we can't itemize anymore, or we don't itemize anymore, or that's gone, isn't it? And they don't understand that it's not gone, it's still there. It just may not apply to you, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't maybe kind of go through the motions to double check whether it might apply to you or not. So as I mentioned, itemizing deductions on Schedule A only makes sense if those deductions, when added together, exceed the standard deduction. The standard deduction for 2019 for married filing joint is $24,400, single $12,200, and head of household $18,350. I also mentioned it was going to be much easier for a single person probably to get over that standard deduction amount than a married filing joint couple, and that's because one of the categories of deductions we have on Schedule A is taxes, and they've limited that deduction to $10,000. So it's a much bigger hurdle to get over for the married filing joint folks and the head of household people. So the big categories of deductions that are available on Schedule A, I mentioned medical, taxes, mortgage interest, which may include home equity interest. So I'm going to talk about that because a lot of people think home equity interest or line of credit isn't deductible anymore. And we're going to talk about that. Again, those are the big categories. There are still a couple little smaller categories, but I'm going to skip those to talk about the big ones because these are the ones that really kind of make the difference in your ability to itemize or not. So let's start with medical for a minute. In 2019, a new limitation applies, and a lot of people might not realize that. So if you pulled out your 2018 tax return and you were someone who itemized medical deductions, your situation may change in 2019 because there's a higher limitation. So in 2018, you could deduct medical expenses if they exceeded 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. And in 2019, that amount is 10% of your adjusted gross income. So it's the amount over 10% that would be allowed as a deduction. And then if that number ends up being kind of large and you add it to those other categories of income, that's how you might be able to get over the standard deduction. But typically, the people who I see benefit from the medical deduction are usually those people who may might be, let's say, early retired, not yet on Medicare, maybe still have some kids at home. They're paying for family health insurance and they're paying, you know, $24,000 in premiums. Maybe they have a pension, teachers or government workers or executives or, you know, folks who worked at these big corporations that had pensions. Sometimes those people can retire early with a pension, not be on Medicare, so they still have to cover their own health insurance. And if it's out of pocket and they're having to pay for it, meaning out of pocket, they're not getting a pre-tax deduction like we do when we work. When we work and we have health insurance, we are not paying income tax on the amount of money we're paying toward our medical. I don't know if you realize that, but we get a deduction, so therefore we get a deduction right at our payroll time. That's why we don't take a deduction for those expenses on our Schedule A. We only take a deduction on Schedule A for medical expenses that are out of pocket, that are on an after-tax basis, that are not coming out pre-tax out of such things as salary. So when there's family medical, sometimes those numbers are very big, and that's when sometimes we'll see people have big medical expenses. But generally, where we really see the big medical expenses are when people are in assisted living and/or nursing care. Those are big, big dollars very, very fast. So you might think, well, grandma's in a nursing home, and we can take that as a deduction and she has no other income. Maybe grandma has an IRA and she's taking out a minimum required distribution. Maybe she has a little Social Security and the medical deductions kind of wipe out her income and she's at a zero, you know, tax situation. Well, if you have really, really high medical expenses and you don't have the income to offset those medical deductions, that's when you might want to think about doing a little planning. If grandma has an IRA, might be a time to do a conversion to a Roth IRA to not lose the benefit of those deductions. So sometimes you might not think you need them, but there could be an opportunity to get some tax-free income in this situation, in my example, for grandma. So again, sometimes the medical we're watching for might be high high health insurance premiums, high deductibles, maybe high dental costs or surgery out of pocket, those types of expenses, nursing care, et cetera. So if you're in those situations, you want to review whether it makes sense or not for you to itemize deductions, especially when you then subject that to the 10% limitation, but then add it with all those other categories of income. We're going to talk about the taxes when we come back from our next break. So we are in our pledge drive. If you'd like to make a pledge, the phone number is 610-758-8810, or you could also pledge at wdiy.org. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is Your Financial Choices here on WDIY. Good evening. Seamus McGrogan here. I am the Development and Membership Director at the station, and we are in the midst of our fall membership drive. We're asking for your support right now to keep programs like Your Financial Choices on the air. So I've stopped in the studio right here to talk with Lori real quick, but as we do, please show your support right now if you're a regular listener of the show or if you just stumbled upon it. This is the kind of program that really helps keep people in the know and informed about really important topics in their life, all the financial issues, which are really hard to navigate. I always think Lori makes it so easy to understand and breaks it down in such a very easy to digest way. So phone operators are standing by right now at 610-758-8810, or you can go online to wdiy.org. Make your membership gift of support. Consider becoming a sustaining member of the station. Send an amount like $10 every month to be charged on your credit card or come out of your bank account, and that will be a set it and forget it kind of thing. You won't have to worry about it once you set that amount. So consider becoming a sustaining member. It's a great way to support your listening. Again, wdiy.org, 610-758-8810.
And Seamus, if they do the sustaining membership at $10 a month, which sounds very reasonable, will that count as a $120 contribution for the match to the Second Harvest Food Bank partnership that we have?
Yes, the full amount for the year is counted towards the partnership for Second Harvest. So if somebody comes on at $10 per month, that's going to be $120 counted towards the Second Harvest partnership. And as we're saying, $100 equals 21 meals. So you're going to get about 21 meals, maybe 22, 23 meals as a result of you being a sustaining member and just giving a little bit each month.
Okay. And also, if we have five new members tonight, would be great at $100 each. That would be $500. If we have $500 come in or extra support from current members of at least $500, I'll write a check for $250 just for this hour. Wouldn't that be great if just this hour of Your Financial Choices can raise $750 for the studio? That would be really awesome. And not just raise funds for the studio, but also produce some meals for those in need through Second Harvest Food Bank and the partnership with Valley National Financial Advisors, which I'm very proud of for supporting this organization as well.
We are very grateful for Valley National, the company that Lori comes from, and they have generously stepped up to be the partner for this drive. So we are so thankful. And Lori, is there, when you look out to the community and you see Second Harvest Food Bank and the work they're doing, is there something that you particularly admire or some reason that you were focused on Second Harvest?
Well, I actually learned about Second Harvest Food Bank through Mike Gosling, who is also very friendly with WDIY here.
Great supporter.
And
yep.
Because I heard about it on WDIY, it made me investigate it a little bit further. And that's when we decided to get involved. And we actually had a team building event at Second Harvest Food Bank's distribution center, which is fabulous. And we helped load boxes for those in need. And that was really just an absolutely wonderful experience for everyone in the company. So
it's amazing. This partnership is only running during the drive, though. $100 translates into 21 extra meals courtesy of Valley National Financial Advisors. Second Harvest Food Bank is going to do what they do best and get those meals out. And your dollars are going to go to support this programming here at WDIY. But that partnership goes away once the drive wraps up. So please, if you're hearing us now and you have an opportunity, it really is the best time to donate at 610-758-8810 or going online to wdiy.org.
Thank you very much, Seamus. And thank you, listeners. I hope we can count on you tonight to help support this show, Your Financial Choices, and our station WDIY as well. We also offer those podcasts on WDIY.org as well. So for folks who may be just catching us for the first time, or maybe you're a somewhat new listener, there is a lot of information on the website, WDIY.org, and prior programs of this particular program, as well as others, are available under local programming, and it's a wonderful feature to have and a wonderful reference as well. Tonight, we're talking about itemized deductions and charitable giving, and we're starting with Schedule A and whether or not it makes someone to think about itemizing, what situation would arise that makes it something that might be viable for people to itemize. And that is only when your deductions that are allowed on Schedule A exceed that of your standard deduction. I think it is especially important for single people, especially high earners who have high state and local income taxes, who are also homeowners, who have real estate taxes and mortgage interest, to really look at this carefully, because it could make a difference for you. So the first category we talked about was medical expenses. 2019, there's a new threshold, 10% of your adjusted gross income. That is the amount of medical expenses that you can deduct, the amount over the 10%. So you add up all of those medical expenses, and then we see how much it exceeds. And then we look at the next section of Schedule A, which is the taxes. And the taxes will include real estate taxes and state and local income taxes that you pay through wages. And if you don't have state and local income taxes because maybe you don't work, then there's a formula you can use to have a deduction for sales taxes. So it's either state and local taxes or sales taxes, not both, combined with any real estate taxes you paid, capped at $10,000. So that's it. It's capped, and it's capped at no matter what filing status. So again, that is why single people may get to that standard deduction threshold much faster than married filing joint people, because if married filing joint people are capped at 10, they have to get to 24.4 before they can take further deductions. So let's talk about the next big category, which is mortgage interest. And there was a lot of confusion in the tax reform that people didn't quite understand. They said, you know, mortgage interest is going to be limited and home equity interest is gone. And it was really confusing even for CPAs, because it just sounded so, you know, adamant that home equity interest was gone, but that's not exactly the case. So I think it's really important to be really clear on this. There was an article from Motley Fool on February 11th of 2019, and I can get these resources from probably just about anywhere, but this came up real quick when I looked for the limitations. And it said, starting in 2018, mortgage interest on total principal of as much as $750,000 in qualified residence loans can be deducted. So it used to be that the amount of loan interest on loans up to $1 million. Now it's capped at $750,000. And that was mortgage interest that you can take. And for married taxpayers filing a separate return, the new principal limit is $375,000 down from $500,000. But only on new loans after 2017. Pre-existing loans are grandfathered to the million. So not a lot of us are running around with million-dollar mortgages, but some of you may. And if you did it before 2018, you can still deduct all the interest. If you have $1 million loan and you have just did it in 2018, then there's a formula we have to allocate. We can only take like the the pro rata share of $750,000 over your loan for the mortgage interest. Now, that applies to a principal residence and a second home. And I think at some point they were talking about eliminating the second home deduction. So that was a little confusing for me as well, because there was so much lead up to those that legislation. But they do include second homes as well. So that's important, because maybe you only had a principal residence before. And maybe in the last couple of years, you bought a second home. So maybe your mortgage interest deduction is a lot higher now. So you need to revisit whether it makes sense for you to itemize deductions or not. Folks, we are talking about itemizing deductions. And as we go through this, we're going to talk about charitable giving and how you can still get some tax benefits for charitable giving, even if you don't itemize. And we'll continue our discussion after this next break. If you would like to make a pledge, the phone number is 610-758-8810 or WDIY.org.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY 88.1, it's 6:30. Your current temperature right now is 60. Tonight is going to get low around 45. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 57. And Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 46. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 58. And for your Friday night, it's going to get low around 39 degrees. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shondi. Welcome back, folks. We are in the middle of our pledge drive, and I'm encouraging listeners to help support our station through your donations, which you can do through our phone number, 610-758-8810, or through the website, wdiy.org. We've had no callers yet tonight, so I am hoping in the next half hour we get at least five for $100, and I'd like to write a check for $250. And Seamus, tell us how we can get some memberships here.
I'll say this. Public radio is a unique institution because we offer programming. We offer out our product out to the world for free. And then we ask you if you enjoy this, then you can give back. So you are the ones who places a value on this. And then you choose whether or not you want to give back to us. So if you've been enjoying Lori's show and you haven't given to the station, that's a good way to give back. Because especially when I listen to your show, Lori, I learn so much because I don't have a financial background. And I don't know, I don't delve into all the technicalities of being a CPA or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So when I have a specific question or I'm thinking about an issue, I listen to your show and I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But I would have never known that. So it really is great to have expertise like this on the airwaves and to break down complex issues into simple ones. And that's something I think you do very well. So if you value Lori's programming like I do, you value her expertise, her advice, now's the time that you can give back and support WDIY so we have the funds to continue bringing you your financial choices. That's how we do it with your listener support. It's how we've done it for the past 25 years as a public radio station here in the Lehigh Valley. So we're hoping that you'll call 610-758-8810 or go to WDIY.org and support this programming.
Thank you very much, Seamus. And I hope some listeners come through. And it could be 5 at 100, it could be 10 at 50, or it could be 1 at 500, whatever it might be. I'd love to write an extra check for $250 for this hour of your financial choices. I do take it personally. And Shanti's laughing at me. I do take it personally. I really love what I do. And I love and hope that I add value to the listeners and to the community, especially for those people who may not be able to afford a financial advisor. I'm so thankful that I'm given the opportunity through Valley National Financial Advisors to be able to come and do this every week. They believe in supporting the community as well, which is why they're partners with WDIY in providing the monetary donation for the extra meals through Second Harvest Food Bank. So your contribution tonight would make such a difference in so many ways. Again, that's at 610-758-8810 or wdiy.org. So we're talking about itemizing deductions and charitable contributions, which I'm going to get to, especially for those people who want to do charitable giving and still get a tax benefit, even if you don't itemize. But I first don't want people to forget about itemizing, that there could be an opportunity for any number of you. You have to just make sure you're kind of reassessing this every year. So as I mentioned, mortgage interest is a big deduction when added to that tax deduction, especially for people who may have a brand new home or a second home, because the mortgage interest can be quite large in those first few years. One other area of confusion there was with the tax reform was this statement that home equity interest is no longer deductible. But that is not exactly what it meant when we dug a little deeper. And again, from this article from Motley Fool, February 11, 2019, deductibility of home equity interest depends on what the home equity loan was used for. If the home equity loan was used to improve the taxpayer's home, the interest is still deductible, subject to the limits of $100,000. So home equity debt of as much as $100,000 of the principal, that could be deductible if it was used for an improvement of one's home or acquisition. So that is the piece that people kind of were missing out. Now, if it was used for personal expenses, it is no longer deductible. So back in the day, people would take on a home equity and consolidate their credit cards or their car payment and take out a home equity, pay it all off, and then they would deduct the interest from the home equity loan on their Schedule A because their home was securing that loan, and that's why it was allowed. And that's what the IRS says no longer. That part is not allowed. But if it was for home acquisition or improvements, it is still allowed, again, subject to the $100,000 limit. All right, so we've talked about the possibility, although remote medical deductions, again, usually people who are paying out of pocket for their health insurance premiums and or assisted living and nursing home care. And by the way, assisted living, some people might not realize that there may be a deductible portion of their monthly expenses for that. Generally, if you're in an assisted living facility, they will send out a letter, an annual letter, to let you know if some portion of the cost of care that you have each month is considered medical expenses. Also to note is sometimes people don't realize that your medical care may be deductible you might not be in a nursing care facility, but if someone has, what I would say qualified for nursing care, so they can't perform two activities of daily living, then those medical expenses might be deductible. So that's something to think about too. It might not be that grandma's in a nursing home. Maybe she has, people coming in the home. I always use grandma. It could be grandpa. could be aunt, could be uncle. So you kind of want to pay attention to those things. So if we have those medical expenses, we have the taxes capped at 10, and then we have mortgage interest, maybe some home equity interest, we might be getting closer to that standard deduction amount. Now, for some people, you might be over. Some people might be on the cusp, and now they have to say, what are their charitable, what is their charitable contributions? Because the charitable contributions can really put them over the standard deduction amount. Cash giving that you do is subject to a 60% limitation of your income on page one. We don't often see people subject to the limitation. Where I see that happen sometimes is when you have someone who retires and maybe they're not getting wages anymore. Maybe they have a big investment portfolio, but maybe their taxable income isn't very much, but they're still doing big donations to their, church or favorite charity. And if your income is only, $30,000 and you're donating $10,000, you're charitable contribution is going to be limited to 60% of your income on page one. So 60% of $30,000 is $18,000. I said you're giving 10, that would still be deductible. But if you're giving 20, your deduction would be limited to $18,000. So that's cash gifts. Rarely see the limitation. So let's just say you have the cash giving. But cash giving might not be the most efficient way to give, and you might have more tax saving opportunities to give using appreciated securities. So if you wanted to make a donation of $20,000 to your favorite charity rather than taking it out of the bank, if you reviewed your investment portfolio, and I'm not talking about your IRA at this point, I'm talking about your individual account or your joint account. If you have some really long-term appreciated stock, you haven't wanted to sell it because the gains are too high and you don't want to pay capital gains taxes, so you just hung on to it, you could trim off that position that you have by donating the shares to your favorite nonprofit, your favorite 501c3. You can donate appreciated securities without having to sell them. So in that case, you save the income tax on the capital gains for federal purposes and state purposes. So that could be, you know, 18% plus savings right there without having to pay tax on the gains, on the long-term capital gains. These are positions you've held more than 1 year. And if you do a large amount, along with those other categories that I mentioned on Schedule A, adding that all together, if you're over the standard deduction, you can itemize, and then you're benefiting from the tax savings on that amount that exceeds your standard deduction. All right? So if your standard deduction is normally $24,000 and you wanted to make this big donation, if you did it a little bit extra and your itemized deductions got to 34, you're 10,000 over the standard deduction, you're going to save that much more in tax. So if you're in a 24% tax bracket, if you're 10,000 more, you're going to save $2,400. Even though your charitable contribution in my story was 20,000, you're 10,000 over the standard deduction, you still saved. So you saved for the amount over the standard deduction, you saved the amount for not having to pay the capital gains tax. Other kinds of charitable giving are personal property. So some people do goodwill and things like that. You just have to remember those personal property, your clothing donations, your household goods, your old used equipment or whatever in the house. That's at thrift shop values. So I've seen people kind of sometimes value those at, you know, what I would call store prices, store sale prices. It's not that. It's thrift shop value. So keep that in mind. So cash giving works. Personal property works. Appreciated securities are really better if you have them because of the savings on the capital gains. One big thing that I've talked about in the past is using donor advised funds. So what we do here is we'll say to folks, if you pre age 70 and a half, because at age 70 and a half, there's a different tax benefit that you can take advantage of, and that's called a qualified charitable distribution. So any of our listeners who are over age 70 and a half, you can make a contribution out of your IRA to a WDIY and not pay income taxes on it. And that's pretty awesome. So once someone is 70 and a half and they have an IRA and they have a required minimum distribution, you have to be 70 and a half, by the way. That is like one of my favorite ways for charitable giving. But let's say you're pre-age 70 and a half, maybe you're 65 and it's going to be 5 years before you reach age 70 and a half. But you might also have a highly appreciated portfolio of investments. You could do 5 years worth of gifting into a donor advised fund in 1 year, get the deduction in 1 year, get the deduction. So you're kind of bunching up what you would have done over 5 years into 1 year so that you're well over those standard deductions. You take the deduction. Donor advised funds, though, appreciated securities given to a donor advised fund are limited to 30% of your income. But you make this big deduction, And then you do your annual charitable giving out of the Donor Advised Fund. We've done this with several people, and it's worked out wonderfully. So they got that big deduction. And then in the subsequent years, they take advantage of the high standard deduction. So they bunched all the charitable giving into 1 year to get that huge benefit of being over the standard deduction using appreciated securities, not paying capital gains tax on it, and then doing their charitable giving out of the Donor Advised Fund. Works pretty well. If that might be something to investigate, especially for people over 70 and a half. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about the qualified charitable distributions when we come back from this next break. Folks, you are listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. It is our fall membership drive, and we would love if we could say some thank yous on air. And you can do that by making a membership pledge at 610-758-8810 or through the website wdiy.org. Back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is Your Financial Choices here on WDIY. Good evening, Seamus McGrogan here. I'm the Development and Membership Director for the station, and I'm in here because it is our fall membership drive, as Lori, you just mentioned, and we're asking for your support. This is one of the few times per year that we come directly to you, the listeners, and say, hey, if you enjoy this programming, we need your membership support to keep it on the air. So if you are a regular listener, if you just stumbled upon Lori, we need your support to help keep this program on the air. The way to do that, we have operators standing by at 610-758-8810, or you can give online at wdiy.org. There's a very enticing donate button in the top right-hand corner of that webpage, wdiy.org. And the great thing about donating now is, well, there's a couple of things because Lori has put up that generous challenge for this show in particular. So we really are trying to part Lori, part her from her money. But we would love to get that in there. And the challenge that you have laid out, Lori, is that if we can raise $500 worth of membership donations, you will contribute half that amount out of your own pocket. So $250 extra will go to the drive. So please, if you're a regular listener of Lori, help her give to the station now and support your listening at 610-758-8810 or online at wdiy.org. And of course, the other great reason to give now is we have a partnership running for the drive. And the way that works is for every $100 contributed during the drive, 21 meals will be provided by Second Harvest Food Bank. And that's thanks to a great partnership with Valley National Financial Advisors, Lori's company. And the great part about that is it's going to have your donation do a double community benefit, because thanks to Valley National footing the bill for those meal donations, your donation to WDIY won't be split up or diverted or anything like that. It all goes to support the programming, and it also triggers those meal donations. So take advantage of this partnership. It's only hanging around for the drive. And especially when Lori's in the studio right here, we'd love to get some meals triggered in her honor right now at 610-758-8810 or online at wdiy.org.
And WDIY does so much more too than just this programming. I mean, we have programming running with volunteers' help 24/7 practically, and it's music, it's news, it's the Lehigh Valley Discourse. We have a lot of programming and a lot of volunteers who are very passionate about what we do here, and we need to keep the studio going, and we do that with your membership and your donations. And you can do extra contributions too. You don't have to just do the membership. You could do sustaining membership, or you could do extra giving. If we get $500 before the end of the hour, which is only 10 minutes, folks, I'll write a check for $250. So
we hope to hear from some of you out here. This is the final 10 minutes of the show. Membership drives, during the membership drives like these, contributing during the programs that you listen to is important because it signals to us, hey, there's people out there who value this programming. So please, in this final 10 minutes, let's show some support for Lori and her show right now and help trigger that personal goal that she's put out, that personal challenge of $500 resulting in $250 additional dollars going to the station. You can help make that happen, folks. The number is 610-758-8810, and the website is wdiy.org.
Thank you, Seamus. Folks, you have been listening to Your Financial Choices, and podcasts of prior shows are also available on the website, wdiy.org, under local programming, Your Financial Choices. And we hope to provide a lot of valuable information that makes a difference in your lives, because we know that we're faced with financial decisions every single day. And one of those financial decisions is supporting this station, and we would appreciate that. Talking about itemizing deductions and charitable giving, I don't want people to forget about reviewing whether itemizing makes sense to them. So I've kind of covered that. Pay attention to those sections of Schedule A, the medical expenses, again, subject to a new limitation of 10% of adjusted gross income this year, the tax section capped at $10,000, mortgage interest and home equity interest if used for home improvements or acquisition indebtedness, and the charitable contribution section. So if those deductions add up to more than the standard deduction for married, filing joint, single, or head of household, you can itemize. You get a little extra benefit. For those folks who don't itemize deductions, you can still benefit from charitable giving in and save some taxes if you make a contribution with appreciated security. So I mentioned you could do that and itemize that deduction. But even if you don't itemize, you're still going to save income tax on not having to pay the capital gains tax for federal and state. So donating appreciated securities, even if you don't itemize, to some of your favorite charities is still saving you income tax. But the big winner for me is using IRA required minimum distribution monies for charitable giving. If you're age 70 and a half or older, you can direct your giving from your IRA to your favorite charity, and then it is not included in taxable income for you. So, and you can be flexible on the amount up to $100,000. So if your required minimum distribution is $10,000 and you want to give $4,000 to your favorite nonprofit, you simply let your custodian know the name of the nonprofit. They will write the check for $4,000, send it to you. You deliver it to your nonprofit charity, and they will still give you a receipt. You still want to prove that you've made the donation of $4,000. Now, remember, the required minimum distribution of my story was 10. You've made $4,000 to the nonprofit. The balance of your required minimum distribution is $6,000. You get your check for $6,000. You may or may not have tax withholding on that. At tax time, you're going to get a 1099-R that shows your distribution of $10,000. And you say, Lori, you told me that if I made it directly to the charity from the IRA, meaning the custodian writes the check to the nonprofit, you told me it wasn't taxable. That's why you need the receipt, because you have to tell your tax preparer that of the $10,000 distribution to you, $4,000 was to a qualified charity. So it's a qualified charitable distribution. We make an adjustment on your tax return. Say $4,000 was to a charity. We write a code QCD on the tax return, and we only report the $6,000 amount. This is a wonderful way to give money for those people who are 70 and a half and older who have IRAs. Now, what I suggest for some folks is, if you're not sure you want to do that or not, you can always wait to do your required minimum distribution. If you don't need it for cash flow, an option is always to wait till the end of the year. And if at the end of the year your cash flow has been good, you're in good shape, You don't need those extra funds. You want to continue to support your favorite nonprofits. You can tell the custodian to do that then, and then just deliver the balance of the required minimum distribution to you. You can do all of the required minimum distribution if you want. So I have some people with some small IRAs. They don't need the money, and their required minimum distribution is, you know, $1,200. They say, give it all to the charity. So the custodian writes the check to the charity, delivers it to the IRA owner, and then they deliver the check payable to the nonprofit, get a receipt, and then we adjust for it on the tax return. So again, people age 70 and a half or older, it can be from an inherited IRA if you're 70 and a half or older. So this is something I was not clear on until recently, that the 70 and a half, I thought it had to be your own IRA. We do have some people who are 70 and a half who still have inherited IRAs, and they can make a qualified charitable distribution out of the inherited IRA as well. But you have to be 70 and a half in order to do that. So that is a big, big tax savings for a lot of people. And some people are so generous that they might do up to the maximum of $100,000. So you might have a huge IRA and your required minimum distribution might be, you know, $60,000, and you can still do up to $100,000. It doesn't have to be the required minimum distribution amount exactly. So I wanted to make sure that people understand that. So a number of ways to still have tax savings on charitable giving, even though you may not itemize deductions anymore. So that is something you could do even for WDIY. If you want to tell your custodian to write a check to WDIY as part of your required minimum distribution, get a receipt, and then you don't have to report that as taxable income. You do report the gross amount, and so I want to make sure people understand that. You have to adjust it on your tax return and write a code QCD, which stands for Qualified Charitable Distribution. I just want to make a couple other little comments that seem to confuse people sometimes on charitable giving. This is from the IRS website. I've talked about this once before. When it comes to like charity auctions, some people get confused as to what they can take as a deduction. And they say donors who purchase items at a charity auction may claim a charitable contribution deduction for the excess of the purchase price paid for an item over its fair market value. So the donor must be able to show, however, that he or she knew that the value of the item was less than the amount paid. For example, a charity may publish a catalog given to each person who attends an auction, providing a good faith estimate of items that will be available for bidding, assuming the donor has no reason to doubt the accuracy of the published estimate. If he or she pays more than the published value, the difference between the amount paid and the published value is the charitable deduction. Sometimes people think raffle tickets are deductible. Raffle tickets are not deductible. That's considered a game of chance, and therefore we cannot take a charitable contribution for games of chance, and so no raffle tickets. So just be aware of that. So when we talk about charitable giving, you have to make sure that you understand what applies. Also, make sure that the organization that you're making your contributions to qualify as a 501c3. And if you don't know that, you need to inquire and ask. Folks, we're coming up toward the end of the show. I just kind of want to end with the little bit of time that I have left, just reiterating that it is our 2019 membership drive, WDIY's 2019 fall membership drive. There's many ways to give. You can call right now. Lines are open, 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, or through WDIY.org. And there's a button to click donate now, and your contributions make such a difference to the station and make such a difference in our community.
Hey, Lori, this is Seamus again. popping in one more time before the end of the show. We have a thank you to give Mark from Coopersburg, a new member. Thank you so much,
Mark. Thank you, Mark.
And particularly happy to hear Coopersburg, my hometown,
Yay.
Is represented. So thank you to that member, and thank you to everybody else who's given this afternoon. It's been great to hear from everybody out there supporting the programs that they listen to. I want to remind you again that we can only do this with your support. So the number to do that is 610-758-8810 or going online to wdiy.org.
I want to remind folks, too, next week we're going to have Tim Roof and Connor Darrell who will join me to review the market for the third quarter, what's been going on in the third quarter. And they're also going to provide some educational insights. Norm's going to be here to fill in for Tom Druckenmiller next. And I always like to remind people about paying attention, being proactive and reactive, and we want you to make the best of your financial choices. And one of those financial choices is, of course, supporting the station. And you can do that at wdiy.org or calling 610-758-8810. Show support for the programming that we do here each and every week. And we value you. Please value WDIY.
Yep. And as we spend the last couple seconds here at Your Financial Choices, know if you call up right now or go online right now, we will count it towards Lori's goal. So if anybody procrastinated till the very end, this is a great time to do it.
I'll wait around a couple minutes.
WDIY.org, 610-758-8810. Thank you so much, everybody.